Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya 2024 January. So this is the fourth episode of 2024. So I was meant to be back last Wednesday, if you listen to this in current time. But to be honest, I'm trying to get this app sorted up and running. So I actually only found out today, all right? So I recorded about 45 exercise videos. So the way the app works is every 4 weeks, you will get a new program if you signed up to the app, okay? So you'll be doing the same workout for 4 weeks, and then after 4 weeks, they will change. So basically, they come back to me and they're like, oh, Enya, there's not enough exercises for us to switch up the workouts, you know? So there's like, I suppose, enough options for them to use. And I was like, oh, well, I've sent over like 40 videos. And he was like, yeah, no, you need to like film about 90. And I'm like, oh my God. Because it took me like 3 weekends to film all these exercise videos, have them edited, etc. Like we're filming since the end of November, I think. So yeah, I have 45 videos uploaded into the app. But it's okay because they already have their own tutorials filmed. So I'm going to use some of theirs and then some of mine until I actually film the rest of them. So yeah. Still going to launch anyway. It will be launching this month. I don't want to jinx myself and reveal the actual date just in case there's another setback. But I'm hoping to definitely have it released this month anyway. Again, sign up to my mailing list, coachedbyenya.com, and you'll see a landing page there where you can put all your details. If you're on the mailing list, there will be a discount, an early board discount for anyone who was on the mailing list versus those who aren't. It's great. You're going to be able to get your calories, your macros. There's a meal plan as well if you want one, that basically corroborates your calories. Or you can just, you know, you'll get the meal plan anyway, or you can just use the macros and the calories. You don't have to follow the meal plan. It's completely up to you, and you can use my fitness pal then to just track the food. But if you haven't got a clue about nutrition, you don't know what to be eating or anything like that, you will get your macros and your calories, and then you'll have the meal plan as well, like to help you out. Basic foods, you'll get a shopping list as well, nothing too fancy. I'm a big believer in, you know, what's easy sticks. You're trying to figure out ways to make your life easier during fat loss, not harder. So, you know, if you're thinking of all like these fancy recipes and you're going out and you're spending a bomb in the supermarkets, it's going to last about a week or two. So you always want to think, how can I stick to this when my life is hard? That's the attitude you want to have. I seen a quote last night. It's like, you don't want to be making habits that you can stick to when life is easy. You want to be creating habits that you can stick to when your life is tough. You know, there's no point starting off at 100 miles an hour, making life really difficult for yourself, because you're only going to end up burning out. But anyway, so I'm in the middle of photo shoot prep. Well, not in the middle. I was only at the start of it. I'm a week in. Nothing too mad so far. I'm doing a weekly roundup on my Instagram page, Coach Enya. If you want to go follow that, I have a highlight. I just put up some stuff this evening, which is, what date is it today? It's the 10th of January. Yeah, so I'm officially 1 week down, and it's going to be up on the 16th of May. So it's a long time ahead, a long journey, a long road. I've done one before that was only 9 weeks, 9-10 weeks. This one's like 18, 19 weeks. So it's double the time. So I'm excited to see the changes with an extra 9 weeks on top of what I done last year. And a lot of people say, oh, why would you do it? Why do you want to put yourself through it? Like, my attitude is, you don't know what you're capable of until you put yourself in that position. Like, step outside your comfort zone. Wouldn't recommend it for everyone. It's not for everyone. It's a completely different animal to just a normal fat loss transformation. But honestly, when you get to the finish line and you actually see the dedication, the discipline and the work you put in, like when you look at yourself in the mirror, you're like, I done this. I created this with the work ethic. Like when you can do things like that, you can prove you can do hard things. It just filters down into every area of your life. It really does. Now, look, I'm not saying I'm disciplined in all areas in my life. Sometimes I'm not very disciplined when it comes to not procrastinating, you know, or like getting things done when it comes to work and stuff like that. But I do with my body, I do put a lot of work into it. So that's one thing I do take care of and that I don't neglect. But I did enjoy myself over Christmas, and I'm sure a lot of other people did as well. And I did a podcast on the do's and don'ts of starting a deficit this January. So I hope you listen to that and you're not, like I said, going into January at 100 miles per hour with exercise and nutrition, because it's not going to stick. But this week it's starting to get back into work mode now. Like, I think last week people were still kind of out of the office, working from home, etc. And it's just back to basics now and back into work mode. Everybody's back from the Christmas, back from the holidays. And 2024 is off to a flying start. So this episode is covering intermittent fasting. Believe it or not, like, this is actually a question I get in my inbox a lot. Like, can you talk about this? Explain it. What is it? Intermittent fasting is just another form of a calorie deficit. You're just cutting out a meal, which could be roughly 500 calories. And, you know, most calorie deficits are you taking away 500 calories per day from what you're currently eating. So you'll go use a TD calculator, your height, your weight, your age, etc. And, you know, tell it how often you're going to be working out. And it will give you the amount of calories you need to sustain your weight and then the amount of calories you need to lose weight. And that's when you take away the 500 calories from the amount of calories it takes to sustain your weight. So say, for instance, if you're doing intermittent fasting, like, you should be tracking your calories. But if you're not tracking your calories, you're basically cutting out a meal. If you have four meals a day, you're cutting out a meal. You're having three meals now, like, you're roughly down 500 calories, you know. But to be honest, like, I think it's a bit of a gimmick. I don't like it. Preferably, I just prefer flexible dieting, you know, sticking to meal times, etc. The meal timings is very similar to intermittent fasting, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay, so I'm going to explain what intermittent fasting is first, and then I'm going to tell you how I ended up doing it unbeknownst to me. Okay, so I wasn't doing it on purpose, but it technically was intermittent fasting. So first of all, let's get into it. All right, so I have my notes here. Intermittent fasting, right? So this is basically, in a nutshell, it's starving the body long enough to promote fat burn. And when I say starve the body, I don't mean like literally not eating on purpose, like neglecting, you know, your nutrition, etc. Just starving yourself. You'll understand what I mean now in a while. So it can help you lose weight. It helps lower blood pressure, cholesterol, prevent diabetes, which, you know, most fat loss, I suppose, roots promote that anyway. If you're dropping body fat, you're obviously going to improve your health, if you're doing it in a healthy way. So I'm just going to highlight the science behind, okay? So during a meal, the carbs in the food are broken down into glucose, okay? Now, glucose is absorbed through the intestine wall and into the bloodstream, and it's transported to various organs, okay? It's used as a major energy source. It's like our petrol, like our body's form of petrol, okay? So excess glucose that isn't used is stored for later use in the liver and adipose tissue. So people who constantly consume carbohydrates all the time and don't exercise, glucose is converted into glycogen, okay? And then glycogen gets stored for later use. It's a form of energy. And it's like, okay, you aren't using these carbs right now, I'm going to store them as body fat, okay? So people who are very immobile but just constantly eat, you know, bread, cakes, biscuits all the time, and they're not moving, they're in a surplus of calories, your body stores that, and it's like, I'm going to keep this here until you do need it, all right? So not only does it have to use up carbohydrates that you've eaten that day when you actually do decide to start exercising, it has so much built up body fat then it has to get rid of as well. That's why it takes so long, because you've built it up over such a long period of time, okay? Like, from eating so many carbohydrates, carbs aren't bad. They're our body's primary source of energy, but if we eat too much over a long period of time without exercising, that's what happens, okay? So I'm just going to repeat that again. So excess glucose that isn't used is stored for later use in the liver and adipose tissue in the form, adipose tissue is fat, in the form of glycogen and fats, okay? So in between meals, when the body is in its fasted state, okay? So let's say between lunch and dinner, okay? Let's say you didn't snack, all right? And there was about 5 hours between lunch and dinner. In between meals, when body is in its fastest state, the liver converts glycogen back to glucose to keep supplying body with energy. So your body needs energy to think, to blink, to just do basic bodily functions. You know, a calorie is a form of energy, and you need energy to do those basic things. Like, where do you think your body gets the energy to just be alive, you know, to breathe, to pump blood around the body, okay? So your body needs to do something in between when it's eating, all right? And that's literally what that glucose is being used for. So I'm just gonna flip my notes pages here. So this is just the science behind it, okay? So typically, an inactive person takes about 10 to 12 hours to use up the glycogen stores, okay? So when you're actually exercising, you fly through your glycogen stores a lot more because your body's burning up a lot of energy to, you know, be running on the treadmill, lifting weights, etc. But an inactive person would take a lot longer to burn their glycogen stores because they're inactive. They're not using as much energy. But someone who exercises can use them up in less time as their body is more demanding of energy. Okay, so once we've no more glycogen left in the liver to use, the body needs energy. But where from? Adipose tissue, okay? So fat, body fat, can be used as an energy source, all right? So the body is now burning fat for energy. So let's talk insulin here for a second, all right? Insulin is a hormone, and you've probably heard the word insulin before, insulin sensitivity, etc. Insulin is a hormone, and it's required for driving glucose into cells. Imagine someone driving a JCB, all right? So the glucose is the package on the JCB, and the insulin is the driver of the JCB, okay? So insulin is regulated to match the amount of glucose in the blood, all right? So it makes sense that insulin spikes after a meal, okay? Because obviously we have more food, etc. in us. We're after intaking food that contains glucose, so that's why insulin spikes. It's more active, all right? Especially if it's a carby meal, all right? It contains more glucose, so carbs would contain more glucose. Obviously, it's obviously going to be lower between meals as you've not been fed, all right? So it's not really active, it's not really spiking, it's quite low, insulin is, so it's not being used. So if you eat a lot during the day, like consistently snacking, your insulin sensitivity is going to be always very high, okay? So it's always in use, insulin is always sending glucose to A, B, and C, etc. So yeah, you're always going to be driving that JCB if you're consistently snacking throughout the day, okay? So this is going to make sense because I'm going to use myself as an example after I explain all this. If it's always high, it may desensitize body tissues, all right, causing insulin sensitivity, okay? So you've probably seen that word before, or those two words, I should say. The anti-carb brigade love throwing these words around. Like, you'll see if anyone talks about carbs on an Instagram reel or a TikTok video, you'll always see the anti-carb brigade in the comment section talking about insulin sensitivity, right? I don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest. Like, I'm describing what it means, you hear the science of it, but to be honest, I don't pay much attention to it. I just live how I live and I've gotten results from it. But look, everyone is different. Anyway, I'm just going to repeat that anyway. If it's always high, it may desensitize body tissues, causing insulin sensitivity, which can be a cause of like pre-diabetes, type 2, etc. Fasting can actually keep insulin levels low, okay? So instead of like snacking consistently, you know, like I said, between lunch and dinner, if you're not snacking a lot between then, like, insulin's obviously going to be very low because it's not transporting any food or anything like that, because you're not consistently feeding yourself. But it's not for everyone, all right? Intermittent fasting is not for everyone, okay? Especially children, pregnant women, people with eating disorders, okay? We don't want to be encouraging you to not eat food if you have an eating disorder, okay? Diabetics, it's obviously not recommended for, obviously. And people who are underweight, or if it's overdone or done incorrectly, like abusing it, okay? Now, there's different windows of fasting when it comes to intermittent fasting, all right? But the most sustainable one is the 16-hour/8-hour. So you're not eating for 16 hours, but you are for an 8-hour window, okay? So for the majority of those 16 hours, you're going to be asleep, okay? If you go to bed at 9 o'clock at night and you wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning, all right, that's 12 hours. So if you don't eat till 1 o'clock in the day, that's 16 hours, okay? Excuse me. So between 1 o'clock in the afternoon to say 9 o'clock that night, would it be? Yeah. Would it be, or 10 o'clock? I'm not too sure. Sorry, I can't think off the top of my head. Okay, so let's just say 1 to 10, all right? No, it's 1 to 9. 1 to 9. You're going to eat in that window, okay? You're going to eat your 3 meals within that window. So you're not starving yourself. You're just having your 3 meals within that 8-hour window and whatever, 2 snacks or whatever. So for me, for example, I'm actually going to discuss this. When I actually worked in the gym, I used to wake up super early, okay? So I'll just cover the last part of these bullet points before I start talking about that, actually, okay? So the 16-hour/8-hour window is probably the most sustainable one, all right? So you need to still be in a calorie deficit, all right? Like, you don't want to be like cutting out meals for the sake of it, just thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm not eating a meal, so I'm probably in a deficit. Like, you should realistically still be tracking. Like, it's a calorie deficit at the end of the day, okay? Like, you don't want to be, say, between 1 and 9, like, stuffing your face absolutely, like, cakes, like, curries, just because, oh, well, you know, I didn't eat in 16 hours, so I can eat whatever I like in these 8 hours. No, like, you still should be tracking your food. Like, you still should be in a deficit. Meals still need to be balanced, okay? So you're not eating shy for those 8 hours. High in protein, obviously, to keep you full in between meal times, and obviously staying hydrated too, so drinking a lot of water. So the fast is broken slowly. So literally, when it gets to like 1 o'clock in the day, you don't want to be having the world's biggest fry up and, you know, a chocolate milkshake and a lot of snacks to go with it, all right? So you shouldn't be overeating. It should be just like a regular breakfast or a regular lunch, whatever. And you're obviously not going to be having breakfast at 1 o'clock in the day. Let's just class it as lunch. You basically are just skipping breakfast when you're in intermittent fasting, all right? That's basically what it is. So the fast has to be broken slowly, no overeating. And if you're starving, you're obviously not going about it the right way. So I'm going to get into this now. I'm going to use myself as an example. When I walked in a gym, I would have to start at 6 o'clock in the morning. So when I was in a calorie deficit, all right, and I was walking in a gym, I didn't want to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and have my first meal at 6 o'clock in the morning, okay? Because I go to bed at about 9 or 10 at night. That means if I had 3 meals a day, I have to stretch those 3 meals out over 16 hours. That's a lot. That's like eating every 5.5 hours, eating a meal every 5.5 hours. Like, that's a long period to go. And I found it very hard to stick to that. And I had to learn the hard way, because I would eat at 6. Then at 10 o'clock, I'm starving again. And then, you know, I'm starving then by 2 o'clock, because another 5 hours gone by, and then 6 o'clock I'm hungry again, and then 10 o'clock I'm hungry again, and it wasn't working for me. So what I ended up doing was I'd have my last meal, I say 8 or 9 o'clock at night, I'd go to bed, I'd wake up at 6 in the morning, I wouldn't eat anything, I'd probably, you know, drink water, obviously maybe have a coffee, like an Americano. I wouldn't have my first meal till 1 o'clock. And you're like, oh, but Enya, would you not be starving? But see, you know, the first couple of days I done it, yeah, it was a bit difficult. But then your body starts to adapt to a feeding schedule, okay? Now, I wasn't doing this. I wasn't intermittent fasting on purpose. But, you know, looking back now, it was very similar to intermittent fasting. Your body adapts to a feeding schedule. So you have two hormones, ghrelin and leptin, okay? Ghrelin tells your body when you're hungry, and leptin tells your body when you are full, okay? So when you stick to the same meal times on a daily basis, you regulate these hormones, okay? But if you're eating at different times of the day, all day, every day, you're going to feel hungry at different times of the day, all day, every day, because your body doesn't know when it's going to be fed. It's literally just in survival mode. It's like, look, I'm not used to a feeding schedule here, so I don't know when I'm going to be fed. So I'm just going to be hungry all the time to make sure I do get fed. So that's what was happening to me when I was eating at like 6 in the morning, and then, you know, I was hungry then by 10, etc. So when I actually started eating at 1 o'clock, I would have my first meal at 1. It wouldn't probably be a breakfast type of meal, it'd probably be a lunch. And then I'd have my next meal at 4 or 5. We'll say 4, okay? And then I'd have my third meal then at maybe 8 in the evening. And in between then, I might have like a protein snack in between those 3 meals. And it was much more sustainable for me to stick to, because I would stick to that feeding schedule over, you know, an 8 week to 12 week period. And I'd never be hungry, because my body adapted to a feeding schedule, and that worked for me compared to like waking up at 6 in the morning and having my breakfast then and then having to stretch out 3 meals over a 16-hour window. And I just found it so much easier, and it and that's why, you know, sticking to meal times is really effective for fat loss. It really is, because a lot of people go into fat loss and they think, oh, I just have a calorie deficit, happy days, I'll do my exercise, and then that's it. But there's actually a lot more to it, and sticking to meal times is going to help you so much. Like, it's like a cheat code, it really is. And it's one thing a lot of people don't pay attention to. So try that, try stick to a meal time. Obviously, you want to be having sufficient protein with each meal. You don't want to be having, you know, pastries and an Americano or a cereal bar and Americano. Like, that's not a meal. You want to have at least 30 to 40 grams of protein with each meal. And stick to it. And look, that schedule worked for me. But, you know, a different schedule might work for you. But intermittent fasting, it's very similar to that. But that's just what worked for me. Like, I was still in a calorie deficit. I was still doing flexible dieting. But yeah, that is what intermittent fasting is in a nutshell. But also off the back of that, it also proves that, you know, meal timings is very beneficial, because it lowers insulin sensitivity, because you're not constantly snacking all the time or eating whenever, whatever, etc. So yeah, what I would say is, you know, intermittent fasting is not for everybody, but flexible dieting while sticking to meal times is very beneficial also. So you don't have to do intermittent fasting. It's not a cheat code. It's just, it works for some people. Okay, you're basically just skipping breakfast. That's what you're doing. If you have four meals a day and you cut out breakfast, you're still having your lunch, dinner and tea or whatever. But yeah, that's literally what it is in a nutshell. And then also off the back of that, just to repeat myself, that meal timings, being in a calorie deficit and flexible dieting also works as well, okay? They're very, very similar. So you don't have to be starving yourself. You don't have to not be eating for 16 hours. It really depends on your schedule, what way your lifestyle is, etc. That was my lifestyle at the time. Now, for instance, right now, I'm back in a calorie deficit, obviously, because I'm in photo shoot prep. Like, I wake up at, say, 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? I'm self-employed. I don't have to be in the office for nine. But sure, even if I work from home, I'd literally roll out about a half eight anyway, okay? So I have my first meal around 10 or 11, okay? My breakfast. Then I'll have a protein snack in between at maybe one. And then I will have my lunch at about four. And then I'll have my dinner at about seven or eight, okay? So that's literally the schedule I'm sticking to now in a calorie deficit. Whereas when I was in a surplus, I had to eat an awful lot more food. So it actually pushed the feeding window back an hour. Now, I'd done this over a 3-month period, so I wasn't constantly changing the times every day. Like I said, the benefits of sticking to meal times. So I would actually have my breakfast at 9 in the morning. I'd have maybe my lunch then at 12. I'd have another meal at 3 and then another meal at about 7. And obviously, like, protein snacks in between. Like even the protein snacks would be timed, okay? And they actually help as well, because you're not going from lunch to dinner, like, 4 hours of a gap without anything. You actually kind of look forward to the little kind of snack. It kind of perks you up a bit then, like, while you're waiting to have your next meal, and it doesn't feel as difficult. But honestly, just meal timings are just, they really are a cheat code. I would recommend practicing them. Like, it regulates your hunger hormones, and you're not just gonna, it's okay to feel a little bit hungry during a deficit, you know, especially if you're exercising, etc. But if you're constantly hungry all the time, have a look at your meal times. Are you sticking to a feeding schedule? Are you just eating whatever, whenever? Or are you one of those people who you wait till the end of the day to eat all your calories, even when you're in a calorie deficit? It's not working, and that's why you're feeling hungry, because your body hasn't adapted to a feeding schedule. So like I said, it's in survival mode. It's hungry all the time because it doesn't know when it's going to be fed next. So that's literally what I'm going to wrap up this podcast with, is stick to a feeding schedule and notice your hunger decrease. Seriously, the same times, it could be 10/11 for breakfast, it could be 3/4 for lunch, and it could be 7/8 for dinner. Once it's in those windows, you know, you're not changing it. Like, it's not moving. Like, I suppose your dinner could be 4 today and then you're moving it till 6 tomorrow. Like, that's not really going to work. And that's why some people even bring their food with them to work, etc. Or if they have a long day out where they're in the car, like, it helps, it does. And I actually notice I do get hungry if I miss my window, say, for lunch. My lunch is at, say, 2, and I don't eat till like 4. Like, I'll notice it. Like, I will start to feel hungry because my body's like, you know, we're supposed to be fed by now. What's going on? So yeah, meal timings are really important. Okay, so that pretty much wraps it up. It was short and sweet, but I didn't want to overcomplicate it. But that's the science of intermittent fasting. But again, flexible dieting, meal timings, being in a calorie deficit is also very beneficial too. And no, you don't have to do intermittent fasting to drop body fat. It's just another way of going about it.